All right, let's turn to Psalm 119, and I actually want you to start in verse 41 as a way of just kind of reviewing what we covered last week as we started this stanza, that the Hebrew letter means nail, and we talk about having the Word of God nailed down, and that's going to be such a key to understanding far as having, as we entitled last week's message and this week's, far as dealing with confidence in Christ. Our confidence that we're going to have in Christ is going to tremendously go up as we understand and know His Word. That's how we have a relationship with Him. And of course, our prayer life should be according to the Word of God and the things that are laid out in it. And so that's really where our confidence is going to start coming from, is the Word of God. But you notice in verse 41, it starts out saying, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." It starts out dealing with, God, I need your mercies. It's another prayer request. And we saw even in the previous weeks, when we covered the previous stanza, that every verse was a prayer request that David had. And so verse 41, and starting this stanza, it starts out with a prayer request, needing God's mercies. And it's so important to have God's mercies, because what it says in verse 42, it says, "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word." We need God's mercies because we're going to have to deal with those in this world that will reproach us because we do follow the word of God. We are walking according to what God lays out in his word, and the world is not going to like that. They're going to reproach us for that. So David needs God's mercies to be able to deal with that as he continues to trust in God's word and to be able to give an answer. Last week we talked about the importance of communicating the word of God as well as retaining the word of God, holding on to it, because that is what we're going to need to be able to deal with the dark world that we are living in. Now, as we look at part two of confidence in Christ, we're going to be obviously dealing with verses 45 through 48. And we're going to be looking at dealing with our liberty to walk. Again, having that confidence in Christ, in His Word, we're going to have liberty to be able to walk. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have opposition from the world. Obviously, that's the case. We're going to have those reproaches. We're going to have people talking about us, trying to limit what we're able to do. I mean, there's going to be that. But just because there is that doesn't mean that we don't have liberty to still walk and be able to, again, continue to communicate the truth of the Word of God. And then we're going to finish up with the last two verses of the stanza dealing with loving His Word. In every aspect of this stanza, we have seen some, again, the importance of going back to the Word of God, communicating the Word, retaining the Word of God. We can have liberty in our walk because of the Word of God. And then it all comes down to that really motivating factor of really loving the Word of God. And we're really going to probably hit that pretty hard when we get there. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see, because as always, there's a lot to cover. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for the opportunity to spend time in your Word. Lord, meet with us. Lord, we need this. We need to hear each and every week from your word. I thank you for your direction. I thank you for being in Psalm 119 as we continue to embark on this vision that you've given us this year, of being able to exercise ourselves in godliness, using physical exercise as well as something that is a lesson to us to understand things spiritually with it, and to be healthy in our spirit or our mind, in our soul or our emotions, as well as, of course, even physically, to be able to walk and carry out the things that you command us to do in the Word. And so, Lord, I pray that you meet with us today. Open up our hearts and our minds that we can understand your Word and be able to apply it to our lives. And, Lord, help us to be motivated, in a sense, to be able to be committed to do what your Word says. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so we see in verse 45, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Again, we see where he is committed to wanting to communicate the Word of God, to be able to retain the Word of God, like we talked about last week. And so in verse 45, you notice the change in what he's saying here. He is giving God, in a sense, a vow or commitment of what he will do. Verse 45 says, "I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." As we continue to seek the Word of God, continue to learn from it, to be able to apply it to our life, it should affect our walk, our physical. Get the mental, getting the thoughts and the things of the Word of God into our minds and into our hearts should affect our walk, our actions, and to be able to walk at liberty. And this is something, again, he's saying, this is what he's committing to do. I will do this. It goes back to something that I said before, talking about if we have a prayer request of, God, teach me your word, is God going to teach you if you're not going to be faithful to actually keep it, to actually do it? Why would God teach us something if we're not going to do it? Well, David again is laying out that same truth here and saying, again, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Lord, you teach me. Lord, you give me your mercies. Lord, you give me and allow me to keep and hold on to the word of God. Here's what I will do. I will walk at liberty. And again, that liberty is going to be to serve God. I want you to turn over to the very next book of the Bible, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to look down at verses 10 to 12. So Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 to 12, an incredible book of from Solomon, David's son, who was the next king on the throne after David had passed away. And Solomon, known for his incredible wisdom, and again, the book of Proverbs lays that out, how we should really govern our lives by the word of God. Notice what Solomon says, which would be to his own son, Rehoboam. At least that's he was the next king after Solomon. But anyhow, Proverbs chapter 4, pick it up in verse 10. It says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." When it talks about your steps won't be straitened, that means it won't be confined, constricted. In other words, it's the opposite of being having liberty. All right, you're going to have freedom to be able to walk. As a matter of fact, when you start running, you're not going to stumble. And that's based on what? Holding on to the things of the Word of God, following the right path. Now, with that in mind, let's go over to our own doctrine under the dispensation of grace. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 should be familiar to everyone since we had talked about this, I guess, a couple of years ago when we were going through the book of Exodus, talking about our vision from captivity to Christ. This was our vision verse for that in Galatians chapter 5, down in verse 1. As we talk about having a liberty to walk, notice what is laid out here, because the Galatians, the churches in that province, the Galatia, were having an issue and a problem of walking again, unfortunately, started getting into the law again and dealing with false teachers coming in and saying you need to be circumcised, you need to be keeping the law, it's not just your salvation by grace. And Paul is coming against that in the book of Galatians. And he says in Galatians 5 and verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." If you jump down to verse 13 of the same chapter, it falls right in line to what we just read in verse 1. So Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." In other words, with liberty that we have in Christ, I mean, make sure that you're walking according and not according to your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but again, to serve the Lord, to be able to, as it says, for the love of the brethren, that sort of thing. In other words, you're doing what is right. You're having that liberty to walk according to the truth of the Word of God. And it is easy for us, unfortunately, at times, walking around in the sinful flesh, to go back into the tendencies of what does the flesh want. That's why we always have to guard against that. If it wasn't an issue, we wouldn't have it here in the Word of God. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I mean, it's easy with this world and with our flesh to start getting entangled. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God, applying the Word of God, praying to God, so that we are walking in liberty, serving Him. I want to give you one more reference in this regard, and then we need to move on. I want you to turn over to, actually, 2 Timothy in chapter 2. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Again, we don't want to be entangled. We don't want to be caught up in the things of the flesh, caught up in the things of this world that's going to limit our walk, limit in how we're going to be able to serve the Lord. We want to be able to, again, have that liberty and freedom of movement to be able to serve the Lord, not being constrained or entangled by the things of the flesh of the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're actually going to start in verse 1, but we're going to get down to verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I wanted to include all of this because it's in the context of ministry, and that's what we want to be able to do. That was last year's vision of being addicted to ministry and making sure that we are being used of God to be able to minister to people the Word of God. But anyhow, in chapter 2, 2 Timothy verse 1 says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And of course, the him that we are pleasing is God. And so we don't want to get entangled again in the affairs of this life. So often we are limited in our walk because we allow ourselves to get entangled with the affairs of this life. The things that are happening in this world that is not helping, not conducive to our relationship with the Lord, we get entangled in those things, and thus we are limited in our walk. We don't want to be limited, we want to have liberty. And we have liberty by continuing to seek God's Word and applying it to our lives. Let's go back to Psalm 119 and let's move on again from verse 45. Psalm 119, starting in verse 45, but moving on. It says this, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Again, his commitment that he is going to do. "I will" is something that's happening yet future. I will do this. That's something that hopefully that we will say the same thing. Hey, you know what? God, I'm seeking your word. I will walk at liberty. I will walk according to your word. Tomorrow when I get up, I'm going to walk according to the truth of your word. This is something I will do. Well, this is not the only thing he will do. Let's go into verse 46. It says, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." Now I'm going to deal with the last part of this verse first, not being ashamed, because we've already talked about it. All right, you already know the references. Again, nothing new. We've talked about them before, but I might as well have you turn there if you don't already have it memorized. But 2 Timothy 2:15 is talking about not being ashamed. How do you guard against not being ashamed? Especially, what's the whole context that we've been seeing in the stanza? The world reproaching you because you're standing on the truth of the Word of God. You're walking according to the Word of God. So you're going to have to deal with opposition. So a way to not be ashamed, and most importantly, not being ashamed before the Lord, is that we are studying the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Again, we understand that here, that the word of God, all the word of God is for you, but not all the word of God is to you. All right, it is written to different groups of people, to the Jews, to there's books that are written specifically to Gentile nations, but to the church, as far as the body of Christ as well. All right, and so you need to understand rightly dividing and understanding dispensations. God deals or dispenses the salvation differently as you come through the Word of God. And today, of course, it's under grace. You're saved 100% by grace, not by law, not by your conscience, not by the tree of life, not anything like that. It's by what is laid out in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and again, that gospel message of which we will celebrate even next week as we talk about Resurrection Sunday. But in 2 Timothy, if you're still there, also look in chapter 1. Again, this is nothing new. We've seen this before. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, look down in verse 7 and 8. I'm talking about being healthy in our mind mentally. Here's what it says in verse 7. Paul talking to Timothy. Timothy going through a tough time as he's pastoring in the city of Ephesus. A lot of spiritual warfare going on there. He says this, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's where it all starts, your mind. All right, mental health. And then he goes on in verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." You are going to go through afflictions when you're serving God. That's just, we know that, all right? But God gives you the power to deal with it, so we should not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor the testimony of Paul, the doctrine that's given to us by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles. Shouldn't be ashamed of that, all right? There's too many Christians that are, and don't have any understanding of what's going on, and that will cause them to be ashamed before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, but I will get into a different subject if I start going down that road. But again, the testimonies, and I want you to keep that in mind, all right? Not ashamed of the testimonies, and I want to review where we're at in Psalm 119, but I'm going to have you go to Acts here in a second. But Psalm 119, again in verse 46, what does it say? "I will speak of thy testimonies, the things that God has done in his word, even the things that God has done in your life, testimonies, I will speak of thy testimony also, notice, before kings, and will not be ashamed. You see, if you have confidence in Christ because you have studied the Word of God, you have applied the Word of God, you're ready to speak the Word of God no matter who it is. If you had the most prominent of government officials come into the church today, you would not be ashamed to tell them what God has done, not only through the Word of God, but in your life. If the President of the United States came in today, we shouldn't change the message. We shouldn't hide from what we believe and understand from the Word of God. No, we share the testimonies of the truth of the Word of God. And this is something, again, you talk about commitment. David says, I will testify. I will give testimony. I will speak even before kings. And the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul, we see that we have a historical record of him literally speaking the testimony of what God has done and what God has done in his life before a king. And for that, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I wish we had time to go through really this whole chapter, because it's absolutely incredible in seeing Paul lay these things out. But we're going to start in the first three verses, and then we're going to jump down, in a sense, to the conclusion of the matter of him laying out. But, I mean, take the time today and go through this whole chapter. It's amazing to see the testimony that Paul lays out. But we're going to start in Acts chapter 26. Again, Paul's in prison, been in prison for a while for speaking the truth of the gospel. He's still walking at liberty, even though he's in prison. He's still getting the truth of the Word of God out there. And so you have this dignitary, Festus, that, you know, Paul's in prison. And so King Agrippa comes down. And so Festus tells King Agrippa of the situation with Paul. And Agrippa's like, well, I want to hear him as well. And so that's the context of what you have going on, starting in verse 26. I mean, really, to get the whole story, you need to start really in chapter 25. But anyhow, in chapter 26, starting in verse 1, it says this. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. He's been reproached. Verse 3 says, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. That's interesting, because we've talked about in Colossians chapter 4 how you should be able to what? Answer every man. You should know something about them, be able to see where they're at in a sense, and to be able to respond accordingly. Notice that Paul does that. He understands something about King Agrippa. He understands that King Agrippa knows about the customs of the Jews. And he is happy to be able to answer for himself. Right? And he's saying, hey, I beseech you, listen to me patiently. Give me some time. Give me some space. I'm going to lay these things out. And that's exactly what he does. He lays out the truth of the Word of God and dealing with Jesus Christ and the hope of the resurrection. And he deals with the testimony of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road when he's going to put people that follow the way in prison. He lays that out to him very clearly, very cleanly. He's speaking before a king, and it's the same thing that we should be willing to do. I will do this. If you have your confidence in Christ because you're studying in the Word of God and you're applying the Word of God, it shouldn't matter who it is. It can be the richest person in the world. I don't care. I don't care if it's Donald Trump. I don't care if it's Biden. I don't care if it's Elon Musk. I don't care if it's Jeff Bezos. I don't care if it's some sultan from the Middle East. It does not matter. The message will not change. Here is what Jesus Christ has done for me. Here's what the Word of God says. Now I want you to turn over. Whew, I'm getting excited here. Acts chapter 26, and down in verse 24. Notice what happens. This is probably one of the saddest things in the Bible. And not because of what Paul said. Now, it's King Agrippa's response. Look at it in verse 24. We're going to read down through verse 28. Acts 26, verse 24. It says, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. Let me break it down to you. Here's what Festus said. Paul, you're crazy. You say so much, you've gone off the deep end.
You're beside yourself. That's a nice way of saying you're loco. You're crazy. All right? And you're off the deep end.
He's being reproached. We've had that accusation before. Literally. All your studying that you've done, that you guys are off the deep end. That's not what mainstream Christianity thinks. What does the truth say? Paul's response, verse 25. But he said, I am not mad. And again, mad being crazy. Most noble Festus. You notice that Paul is still respecting the position, but he's still standing strong on truth. And that's what we need to do as believers. I was going to say, there's things that I don't agree with of where our country is going. But if an official or the president would come and sit down, I would respect the office of the presidency. But I will still speak truth. That's what you see with Paul. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. He's walking at liberty freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. In other words, this wasn't some secret thing that kind of happened. It was well known of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything, and even in Paul's his life and his testimony, this wasn't something that that King Agrippa wasn't aware of. He knows these things. Verse 27. King Agrippa, Paul is appealing to him. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Think about that. He knows, Paul knows, that King Agrippa believes. And if that is true, and we know it's true, it's recorded in the Word of God, King Agrippa, at this point, he's not saved. You can believe the truth, but if you don't accept it for yourself, if you don't confess that he's Lord of your life, then you're not saved. Remember Romans 10:9? But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God is risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So King Agrippa can believe all day, but if he doesn't confess Jesus Christ as Lord, he's not saved. I've seen it before where people believe the gospel, but they're not saved because they don't confess it. They don't make it personal. They don't submit to Jesus Christ being Lord of their life. Take those two things. Paul says, I know you believe, Agrippa. I know you believe. Look at his response in verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Probably one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Almost. I don't know how you would get a better opportunity in that day and age than have the Apostle Paul, who met the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ spent time with him. As a matter of fact, in this count of his testimony, Paul even talks about how Christ was going to show up to him later and give us the revelation of everything that we have in the mystery part, the gospel of grace and everything like that. He's laying that out. And King Agrippa's response? You almost persuaded me. Sad. But no matter, Paul did exactly what he was supposed to do. And it's the exact thing that we are supposed to do, no matter who it is. I don't care how much money they have, how much fame they have. We're going to speak the truth. Patrick Mahomes graces our church. Guess what? We're going to speak the truth. You claim to be a Christian? Okay, let's lay out the Word of God and let's see what that's all about. Love you. Great athlete. Appreciate you. But you claim to be a Christian, let's see what the Word of God actually says. Let me speak the words of truth and soberness. I will. Now, I don't think I'll ever have the opportunity to talk to Mahomes or the President of the United States, not so that I would see in my lifetime. But if the opportunity came to any of us, are we determined right now, I will do this? Let's go back to Psalm 119. 119, verse 46. Are we going to commit to that? We have more confidence in our relationship with the Lord that we're going to do that. We're spending time in the Word of God. We're going to do that. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Too many Christians are ashamed to even talk of the truth of the Word of God to their family, to their neighbors, to their co-workers. Have clear, open door and opportunity to do so, and they don't do it. Why is that? No confidence. Why is there no confidence? Maybe they're not spending time in the Word of God. I don't know. We can come up with all kinds of excuses. Well, I don't have formal training. I'm not a good speaker. It'd be like the Moses excuse. You know, I don't speak well, so, you know. I may get something wrong. I don't want to get something wrong, so I'm not going to say anything. Those are excuses. We need to be determined. I will do this. Let's move on. We move on to point two, dealing with loving the Word. I'm going to read both verses, 47 and 48. And then you go from there. And verse 47 says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. All four of these verses, this is what I will do. Will we do these things later today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, next month, for the rest of the year, as long as we're living? Are we confident in Christ that we will do these things no matter the reproach, no matter the circumstances of the world and the spiritual darkness that it's in, no matter whatever circumstances that will try our lives, that will get at us or whatever, that try to take our mind off what we need to be doing, are we going to be determined to do these things? And in verse 47 and 48 it says, I will delight myself in thy commandments. In verse 8, I will meditate in thy statutes. That should remind you of a verse that we looked at the very beginning of this year, and so we started Psalm 119. I want you to go back to Psalm 1 real quick. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Talk about this as being blessed, being happy. Alright? It says this in verse 1. So Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, you will be happy by not doing these things that the world does. All right? Don't deal with ungodly counsel. All right? Again, that word ungodly just means it's without God. Doesn't mean the worst sinner on earth and degradations of sin, because a lot of times you hear that word ungodly, that's what we always kind of naturally think of it. Ungodly is somebody who's without God. You can be the most nice, moral, upstanding person. You don't have God in your life, you're ungodly. So, not doing things, if I'm going to be happy, I'm not going to do the things the way the world does it. Alright? I am not going to walk that way. I'm not going to stand in the way of a sinner. I'm not going to sit in the seat of a scornful person who's mad against God. I'm going to do what verse 2 says. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And you want to be blessed? This is what you do. You delight and meditate in the Word of God. You do it throughout the day. That's what's going to make you blessed. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation that's coming at you, no matter the way the world is, you will always be blessed. You will always have that if you are doing those two things. If you're delighting and meditating in the Word of God. That's what they're doing. Now, if you go back to Psalm 119, again, you see that commitment of future of what David is going to do. He is delighting. He is meditating in the Word of God, because Psalm 1 was written by David. All right, and so Psalm 119 as well written by David. He's doing those things, but he is going to continue to do those things. He will do those things. Again, verse 47 and 48. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. So not only is he doing those things and delighting and meditating in the Word of God, it's something that he's committed that he's going to continue to do. And you know why he's going to do it? Because he loves it. He loves it. I want you to take a sneak peek at verse 97 of Psalm 119. We'll get there after a while. Again, Lord tarries this coming. We'll be in This stanza, entitled Mim, which means water, by the way. Water is a picture of the Word of God. Notice what it says in verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. And there's an exclamation point. It is my meditation all the day. He loves the Word of God. He loves it with all his heart. Exclamation point. And you know that he loves it because he is thinking about it all day. Something that you really love, something that you have an affection for, you're thinking about it. Right? You don't go a day without thinking on it, thinking about it. I mean, that, he loves the Word of God. And as we look at where we're at in the stanza of the day, verse 47 and 48, it is mentioned twice. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I am going to do something based on something that I already have. In the past, I have loved the Word. Past tense. I have loved it. So I'm going to do this in the future. I'm still going to invest in it. I'm still going to have my hands. I'm going to lift up my hands unto thy commandments, which I have loved. You see, there's actually proof of the love. And there's one of those words that we throw out there like it's nothing. I love this. I love that. I love, 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 love. Oh, I just love that person. You meet somebody for the first time, they compliment you on your clothes. Oh, I love that person. Do you really? Would you die for them? Would you do anything for them? Oh, we throw that word out, we don't even think about it. I mean, the ultimate love is something that we will celebrate even in this next week as we talk about Resurrection Sunday and what Jesus Christ, he loved us because he gave himself for us. He paid our sin debt. He died on the cross. He suffered the punishment of eternal hell for us. That's love. Sacrifice. How do we know that David loved the Word of God? We have it right here. Can you imagine the effort of just writing Psalm 119? Each stanza based off the Hebrew letter of the alphabet. You're just not whimsically kind of... Now, I understand. It is inspired by God. It is God's Word. I understand that. But David still took the time to lift up his hands and allow God to use him to write the truth of Psalm 119 and other psalms that we have here. Imagine that effort. It was actual physical action. We can sit here all day. Christians, oh, I love God's Word. I love God's Word. Really? When's the last time you actually lifted your hands up to it? Spend some time in actually studying the truth of the Word of God and then to apply it in your life. As we finish out really looking at this, again, I want to take some time. And in verse 48, it says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. I was telling Betty just a little bit ago before church service started that, you know, Trish and I, we worked on outside pretty much all yesterday from late morning to the early evening. Have all this mulch that we got from when, you know, energy company, they were sitting around chopping down trees and mulching them up to stay away from the power lines. And we were able to have them give us a whole bunch of mulch that we used on our fence line. And so that's where they dumped it. You know, so a huge pile of mulch. And so they're like, what are we going to do with the rest of this? Because we used what we needed for the fence line. Like, we got this huge pile. What are we going to do with this? And so Trish had a great idea that we were clearing out a spot in the back of our property, and by these evergreen trees that we have, pine trees, and we'll have the mulch laid out there. So I'm getting all cleaned out. Trish done a lot of work and just dealing with that. And so yesterday I really didn't want to do it. I mean, it's kind of cold starting out yesterday morning, but it's like, you know what? I need to probably do this before it starts raining and stuff like that. So I'll get the mower out, attach the car to it, and you know, get the shovels and things like that, go out there and start doing this, and it's like easier, instead of actually using the shovel to put the stuff, I could get a lot more done by taking my hands and just putting it in there. Load after load after load. We ended up doing like 14 yesterday, 14 loads dealing with this, and it's like, I can feel it in my hands today. I can feel it in my heart, or in my arms, so forth. A little bit in the lower back, even in my legs and things like that. But you know what? It's a good soreness. Work was accomplished that needed to be done. That's one thing I love about living where I live. If I lived in a city, and I wouldn't have to worry about doing anything like this, really. It felt good. Things were accomplished. All right? To do that, to actually physically do this work. What about spiritually when we talk about the Word of God? You say, Christian, you love the Word of God. Are you willing to get your hands involved in actually learning and growing in the Word of God? Or do you want to be a baby Christian all your life and have somebody just spoon-feed you? What happens to that person if they go off the deep end? What happens to that person if they die, they go on to be with the Lord in heaven? What happens to your relationship with the Lord if all you do is get spoon-fed and you never yourself get your hands in the Word of God? I want you to look, and I've seen this, and I showed you this before, but it's one of my favorite verses in regards to your hands in the Word of God. If you go over to Psalm 144, again, it's a Psalm of David. David was a warrior. He's a fighter. All right. In Psalm 144, just in verse 1, Psalm 144 and verse 1. Want to be blessed? It says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. I've used this cross-reference before in coming through Psalm 119 and asking God to teach us. All right? It says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. When the world reproaches you because of your belief, are you ready to fight them with the sword of the Word of God that He's given you? Are you going to allow God to teach your hands and your fingers exactly where you need to go in the Word of God to deal with the reproach? You know exactly where. Well, how do you know you're going to go to heaven? Well, let me show you here. Let me use my hands and my fingers and turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, where it says this. Well, how do you know that you can't work for it? Because all people say that you got to have enough good works to go to heaven. Well, let me just use my hands and my fingers. Let me use my hands and go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, how do you know that you're right? How do you know it's not Islam or something like that? Well, because it says over here, let me use my hands again, and let me turn over to John chapter 14 and verse 6, and it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Muhammad's not going to get you there. Buddha's not going to get you there. Shintoism's not going to get you there. The New Age religion's not going to get you there. Being an atheist definitely not going to get you there. No, it's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Well, how do you know He's God? Well, it says this. Again, let me go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, great is the mystery of godliness. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And if you don't understand that, let me go over to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He is God. And no matter what they come up and try to reproach you, the Lord, He's my strength, and He taught my hands and my fingers to fight and to war. But again, most Christians, they're not willing to put in that effort. I want you to turn over to 1 John. Again, I've used this cross-reference before in coming through Psalm 119, but it's, again, with this, where we're at, it's a great reminder again. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. I love this. You know, people talk about, you know, doing work, like work I did yesterday, talk about getting your hands dirty in the sense, or getting in and doing the work and stuff like that. The difference with getting your hands in the Word of God, you say get your hands clean. All right? It's cleaning your hands. You're able to do what needs to be done. And in 1 John chapter 1, notice this, I love this in verse 1, it says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of Life. Capital W, the Lord Jesus Christ. They literally handled the Word of Life, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something else in this verse. It says, and I'm going to stress the word because I want to drive this point home. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. John's not just talking about what he did. He's talking about what we did. The apostles that were with him. It's not about just one person doing this. We need to do this. It's not just the pastor. All right? It's the whole body of Christ. It's everybody in the local church that we are getting our hands handling the Word of God. Now, we are studying the Word of God so that we can walk at liberty, that we can answer those who reproach us, that we are working together to share the truth of the Word of God. That's why he calls it the body of Christ, the Apostle Paul. It's a body. All the members of the body working together for the glory of God. No matter the church size, the statistic is the same. Whether you're a church of thousands or a church of a few like us. Usually it says that 80% of the people do, or excuse me, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. What would it be like if we had at least 80% of the people doing the work? But what does God want with all of us? Getting our hands and handling the Word of God. I'll give you two more references again that we've already seen. And that's like, how come I repeat these references that we've seen before? Again, we talk about exercising ourselves to godliness. One of the earmarks of exercise is doing things over and over and over, being consistent. That's when you really start seeing yourself grow, and that's when you start really understanding and learning, eternalizing the truth of the Word of God. These are references that we should all have down. But if you turn back to 2 Timothy again in chapter 1, again verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Paul exhorting Timothy to do this. Chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Talk about holding on. What are you doing with your hands? Hold on to it. Don't let it go. It's like we talked about last week, retaining, holding on to the truth of the Word of God. It's kind of hard to have confidence. It's kind of hard to answer somebody if you don't hold on the truth of the Word of God with your hands. Last reference, in Titus chapter 1. So from 2 Timothy 1 to Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Again, the characteristics of the qualifications of a pastor. This is one of the things that they have got to have. In verse 9, this is something that is true for every believer in Christ needs to be. In verse 9 it says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince" who? The gainsayers. Those are the people that talk against the Word of God. They're going to reproach you. You need to be able to give them an answer by sound doctrine. It's not going to happen if you don't hold on to it. Hold on to it each and every day. As we conclude here, again, I'm looking at this stanza. It's like I come through this and I think, man, that was a... what do we really need to hear that? Man, that was awesome. I love that stanza. It was great, you know? And I think, how can it be taught? And it's like, every time I come through, it's like, man, this is great. Do we have the Word of God nailed down? Remember, that's what this letter, this Hebrew letter, means. Because that's where confidence comes from. And a motivating factor to all of this is, do you love the Word of God? Because if you love it, you're going to lift your hands up to it. You're going to get to know it. And the more you do that, the more you will fall in love with it. I'm telling you, the more you start just going beyond just maybe reading or you're dependent on somebody else to show you whatever. I mean, we understand discipleship is important. Somebody's going to sit down and get you equipped in the Word of God, lay out the basics and so forth. That's what my job is as pastor, continue to do. But you have got to have a personal walk with the Lord and be able to know the Word of God and learn the Word of God yourself. And if you love it, the proof of that is you actually spending time and studying it, applying it in your life. You do that, you'll have all kinds of confidence. confidence. You'll have it nailed down to be able to answer anyone that reproaches you and to be able to give testimony no matter how powerful, how influential, how what position or how high, whoever they are. If you had the opportunity and an open door to share the truth of the Word of God, you would have no problem doing it because you love the Word. You love the God of the Word. Your confidence is in Him because you allowed Him to teach you to get these things nailed down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and I praise you for your Word. I thank you for the things that you have shown us. Lord, I pray that you take what we've looked at today. Lord, that each and every one of us would give it serious thought. I know some that may have never done what I've been talking about really themselves individually studying the Word and doing what it takes to learn it better, to get, you know, if they need to get discipled, get to a church that's actually teaching these things, going beyond just kind of entertainment and just kind of, oh, we need to love the Lord, but not really actually deal with biblically what that's all about. Maybe that's where they need to be. But then I know there's the ones that they know this. They've been doing this. But even as David has delighted and meditated in the Word of God, this was something that he was committed that he will do, to continue to do. We talk about holding fast the faithful Word. That's present tense. Action Word. All right? And that's what we need to do. Even if we have been doing this, maybe for years we've been doing this, tomorrow's a new day. Are we committed that, hey, you know what? Tomorrow, Monday, I will lift up my hands to thy commandments, which I have loved. I will delight myself. I will meditate. I will speak of thy testimonies before kings. I will walk at liberty because I seek thy precepts. Lord, I pray for all of us, no matter where we are at spiritually, that we would take the truth of this stanza, these eight verses, eight being the number of new beginnings, and have a new beginning in our walk and relationship with you. That we're willing to get our hands involved in handling the Word of Life for ourselves. So that we have all kinds of confidence, not in our flesh, not in our ability or intellect, or has nothing to do with that, but in you, because we have sound doctrine. We have these truths nailed down in our lives. We allow you to teach these things to us that we're able to stand up no matter the opposition. Lord, I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.